Let's start with, what are your most vivid memories of when you were a child?
Well, I remember when I was very small, I was born on top of Jalha, which is a park, and well, my father, he worked on for the WPA at the time, or the time I remember now.
Yeah.
And, well, he would have a long ways to walk to get his truck to go to work. And sometimes he was working over here on the Massanutten Mountain, and that would be a long ways to ride on a truck. And he rode the back of a dump truck, even in the wintertime, to work that far. Well, I went to school in a one-room schoolhouse.
There. Where was the school? How far away?
That was a couple miles away. It was a one-room schoolhouse.
Was it like down at the bottom of the hollow, or?
Maybe, I'd say 3 miles from where I lived. I lived right at the foot of the Meadow School Road.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my home was.
Yeah.
And, of course, Hiram Meadows lived up the mountain. He drove a car that took the children to school and
turned back, you know.
Oh, how wonderful. Then you didn't have to walk it.
No, most of the time. Sometimes we would walk it, but in the winter months, he would, the colder months, he would take us to school and bring us back.
How many were in the school?
I'd say 15 or 18, something like that, because it was a small one-room schoolhouse. So I didn't go there but just a couple years until we moved out. Well, CC Tropics moved us out and moved us over to the Ada Valley Homestead.
Now, while you were still living in Park Area, how far away were the houses? Your nearest neighbor was, can you recall?
Well, it was over half a mile, I'd say, to my nearest neighbor. Yeah.
And wasn't it hard to move into Ida Valley where you were all so close together?
Well, it was, took sort of a while to get adjusted to it, but
yeah.
I liked it after I got there.
Of course you did.
Because there was more children around my age to play with, you know, to go to school. Of course, we still went to a small school there at Ida.
Yeah.
After I got to Ida, but well, until I went to Luray School. After I got into sixth grade, I went to Luray School. Of course, then I graduated from Harrisonburg School.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, your family didn't do any farming?
Oh, yeah. My father did some farming.
How did he do that with the other work?
Well, the older boys, see, I'm the youngest of the boys. And the older boys would do
that. How many were in your family?
Well, there was six boys and three girls.
That's
and
a big family.
Two of the boys died while we're still living there. At, they're buried in the park up top of Meadow School Road.
Was that one of those epidemics that you know of?
No. The one was 11 months old when he died. And he was a very healthy baby this time. And, he got pneumonia. And he died.
Was doctoring hard? Was it hard to get a doctor?
Yes, it was pretty hard. I do remember now. I was small at the time, but I remember that when I got pneumonia one time in there, that I was very sick. And they got somebody. I don't think my father had a car at the time. Of course, he had had cars before. And my brother was chopping wood, and he cut his foot open with an axe, and so they had put him in Charlottesville Hospital, and he had so many operations on that, and it cost my father so much that he had so did help out with the farming. He had several acres of land there, where it's all grown up now, where you weren't thinking about ever farming that.
Yeah.
But he had several acres there that he farmed, and then it over crossed the Powell's Mountain right back of our house. He had a I don't know how many acres it was back there that he cleared off and farmed corn back there.
So he raised corn, and what else would he raise, do you know?
Corn, tomatoes, and, well, all kind of vegetables for canning and everything. And, well, pick berries, you know, and everything. Canning.
Did they dry the berries, do you recall?
No, they didn't dry them. They canned the berries and made jelly and preserves and things mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
And, well, there's always plenty of apples around. They get in their apples in the fall, you know, and make apple butter and have the cellar to put their apples away, you know. Always had to seem to have plenty to eat, even though they wasn't making much money, you know, with the farming and the wild fruit that they gather, you know. But seemed to always have plenty to eat.
Oh, yeah. Did they raise hogs?
Oh, yeah.
And chickens?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he had a couple horses also.
Now, you said he had cattle. Did you eat the beef?
No. We only had milk cows.
Milk cows?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, we didn't raise any beef cattle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, that seems so strange. I haven't heard of anybody raising any beef cattle.
Well, there was a lot of them raised. But we didn't have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I know that there were some families that was out of the park, but well, they had big herds of cattle up in on above where we live.
Right.
Now this was Ashby Herndon's father, and I can't remember what his name was. Mm-hmm. His first name was. But he had a big herd of cattle in there that he'd take up every spring. And bring them out in mm-hmm. the fall.
Yeah.
But I did have, I'd go to church every Sunday and maybe sometimes during the week, but we'd always walk to church. You know.
How far away was that?
Well, that was at least 3 miles to.
Mm-hmm.
And go to
so you had
Sunday
a preacher
school.
There, a regular preacher?
Yeah.
So when there were funerals and weddings, you didn't have to wait around for a preacher to come.
Right.
He was already there.
Yeah, this preacher was from Philadelphia, and he came there when he was a young man, I think, and he's still living there, and he's still at the same place, but he's 90-some years old now, but they say he still gets around pretty good. And so
does
I imagine...
Does he have much of a memory, do you know?
I would think so. He was a very smart man.
Yeah, it'd be fun to get in touch with him, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What is his name?
John Dubas. Now, don't ask me how to spell that last name, because
I think it would be D-U-B-O-I-S.
D-U-B-O-I-S-Q-U-E.
Oh.
I think is the way it's spelled. I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
But now, anybody in the Jollenhauer area can tell you where he lives at. I mean, he's been there for over 50 years, longer than that, I guess.
Yeah.
He's been there much longer than that. Because, like I say, he came there when he was a young man, and he's been there ever since, and he's in his 90s now.
He must have really loved you all.
Well, he seemed to, and everybody seemed to like him. Of course, mm-hmm. there was a few around that gave him a hard time, you know.
Yeah.
The mm-hmm. ones lived back up in the mountains. They sort of gave him a hard time.
Yeah.
And, but he never would leave. He still stayed with it and seemed to enjoy it. And I tell you, we really enjoyed having him.
Yes.
Everybody seemed to like him. But,
with your apple butter boiling, this is a change of subject, but do you recall whether they would do it all night long, or whether they would do it in the daytime, or when they would do it?
Well, now I've known of some families that will do their alphabetical bowling at night.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Our family usually would get together. Now they would have what they call apple peeling.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is where the neighbors come in. Now they would walk for miles, you know, just to get together.
Yeah.
And talk and peel apples, you know, and get things ready for the apple bar bowling. So many bushels, I don't know just how many, but they cut them up and get them ready, and then on the, get up early in the morning that they was going to boil out butter, and then it would be an all-day job, you know, boiling out butter, and cutting cans and things, you know.
It was a great time to get together.
It was about the only thing back in the holiday that way that they had to, to get together for things like that. Now, say when their gardens was getting ready to can their beans and things, they'd pick all their beans, you know, and maybe have several bushels of beans, and they would let the neighbors know that they was going to have a bean string that night. And so, well, neighbors would walk for miles and come to help with the bean string, you know, and get them ready for canning. And everybody seems so willing to help each other. Well, you don't find that anymore.
No, you don't.
I mean, the people next door would walk over to help you if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Or maybe if you go really beg them, they might. But
I know.
They're not like they was back then.
Yes, from what I understand, if you went to visit somebody and they were busy doing something, they pitched in and helped.
Right. That's the way it was then. Mm. And, if you had work to do and the neighbors, they didn't have a say on what to do, they'd all come in and they would work all day if need be to help you out, no charge to them.
Yeah. I mean,
it was just, they was glad to come to get together and talk with their friends maybe at the end for a while.
How about the houses? What were they made like?
Well, we had a weatherboard house.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't a modern house like you see today.
No,
no, but it wasn't as warm as the houses around now. But,
it wasn't a log house.
No, we didn't have a log house. No.
Did some of the neighbors have any that you recall?
Well, there was a few up in there. Mm-hmm. But I think some of the Madisons had log houses now, but like I told you a while ago, Aunt Myrtle that lives there in Elkton, she could tell you a lot more about that than I could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And,
do you know of any, now, I know it went on, but I was wondering if in your particular area there wasn't much moonshine.
Well, I heard of some, but now as far as knowing, I can't say.
Yeah. You were too young, really, to have noticed. Yeah.
Yeah, but I heard about it, and I think it was something going on at that time.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure there was something going on at that time.
Your place was too far away from Skyland, wasn't it, for the people to take anything to Skyland to sell?
Yes, it was. Mm. See, we was all the way at the foot of the mountain.
Yeah, right.
But now, I might there's some relatives lived over near Skyland. Now, Devon Taylor. I don't know if you know of him or not.
Yeah.
But that was his home, Skyland.
Oh.
And he worked for Mr. Pollock for years.
Yeah.
And his two sons, which is Cecil Taylor, that lives in Sperryville. He worked for Pollock a lot, and Bernie Taylor. And all of Bernie's sons live there around Elkton.
Mm-hmm.
And I can give you their names if you'd be interested. Now I know of four of them that was born at Skyland.
Mm-hmm.
And Harold, Melvin, Irving, and Ivan. And they're about one of them or two of them is younger than I am. And they was born up right there. That's Skyland.
And they stayed at Skyland until Pollock left Skyland?
Until the park moved them out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what your Pollock, I have met Pollock. I've talked to Pollock.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
What was your impression of him?
Well, he was right old when I talked to him.
Yeah.
He had been sick a while, and he seemed, he seemed to be a very intelligent man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was in 1949 that I talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 1949, and he, I don't know what it was, sometime during that year or 50 that he died, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I talked to him, George Corbin, and I went to his house. I enjoyed talking to him.
Mm. Yeah. He was quite a conservationist, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
And while we were all very fortunate that he was there, he helped the mountain people quite a bit.
He sure did.
Yeah.
You know, I read a lot about that. Well, I enjoy this book that he wrote about Skyland.
Yeah. It's pretty accurate.
Well, there's some things in there about Bernie and Cecil Taylor, too. I think now at that time that they was making much time that they had a little trouble. Which is wrote up in the Skyline book. And,
how did your what did your family do with any excess eggs or chickens or anything like that? Where would they sell them?
Well, they would have to take them to Shand or Elk. Yeah, that was a long ways to go.
They didn't do it often, did they?
No. Because we really didn't have that many. But see, with... after the two, it was still two died in our family. Two boys. There was still four boys and two girls. And father and mother, which was eight of us in family. And so... we just kept enough chickens and raised hogs and cows for our own use.
I wonder how, before your father started with the WPA, how they got money.
Well, there were some farmers. I remember hearing him talk about it, that he worked for.
I see.
He was glad, and they called it. Grubbing or clearing fields that sort of growed up, you know,
mm-hmm.
and getting ready for farmland.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 50 cents or a dollar a day would be all really good. But
sure.
At that time, they could buy a lot more with a dollar than they can now.
Yeah.
But it was still maybe a 10-hour day that he would have to work for. And, finally, when we moved to got a job with the Park Service here, and he worked for the Park Service over 20 years.
What did he do?
Well, he was with the park maintenance part of the town, and then he was with the fire control aid. I don't know how many years he was with that. He was out that a long time. He stayed in some of these towers.
You know, when that's on, would you mind not talking, because I'm sure this can't pick up your voice plus that. And, great.
Okay. And he stayed at the Miller's Head Tower for a while. That's located there near Skyland, where you can see all over the Ida Valley and there. And then he stayed over on the old Rag Mountain. They have a tower up on the fire lookout tower on that. Several different towers throughout the park that he would stay in. And during the real dry spells, you know, they'd want somebody to stay in the towers.
When your family was moved out, were all your neighbors moved to about the same area so that you all still stayed as neighbors?
No, there was all I want. Move from there now. All right. My Uncle Abby, my father's brother, that, well, he lived about 4 miles from us at the time. We lived in Jolly Hollow. And, well, he was moved about the same time that we was. And, well, when we got to Idaho, his house was only 8-10 blocks from us then, you know.
Mm.
And then my mother's brother, which, he lived over the bottom of Skyland, somewhere over there. I'm not too familiar with where he lived at that time, but he moved as our next door neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And so that did, it was two of them that moved.
But not the other neighbors that you had all been so close with.
Well, just across the, our other neighbors now, as far as in the park, we didn't have any close neighbors at all.
Well, I mean, these neighbors would all come and get together to do the apple.
Well, now they would come up that far. I mean, 3, 4, maybe 5 miles.
Yeah.
To do that.
Uh-huh.
But now, just across the, we live close to this creek that came down. And just across there, which was, I had one uncle that lived over there. And, the next neighbor down the road was just across the creek, so of course that was out of the park.
Yeah.
Now they didn't move.
Yeah.
And so we was the last ones really to the foot of the mountain. Now we was right at the foot of the mountain.
Mm.
And there wasn't anyone close other than those two, and I'd say they were, well, over a mile or all right.
Yeah. I heard from someone who had been a frequent guest at Skyland that though, you know, she was very proud of all the wonderful people that did live there in the mountains, how great they were, but she said they naturally had feuds, and that to the shame of it was that these that had the feuds were moved pregnant sometimes as next door neighbors there in Ida. Did you notice any of that?
No. No, no.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking it could have been pretty rough.
Yeah, it would have been if it would have happened that way, but I don't know if it it happened that way at all. Now we lived in Brain Terror. He was moved from Skyland. And there was a house direct across the road from us, which was, I'd say, 1 block apart. Now, he was my father's first cousin.
Mm-hmm.
But they hadn't seen each other, but maybe a few times, you know, during meeting back on the mountain somewhere, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he had 7 boys, I think. So they became good friends, and we really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Did your mother miss not having the spring?
Well, I don't remember her saying too much about it, but she didn't seem that she liked it better up where we was for a while.
After
a
while.
Then she got used to it there, and she liked it real well then.
Yeah.
Of course, after they started selling those places up there, we moved out of the house that they had moved us into, and my father bought the David Ricker place.
Mm-hmm.
He bought that place, and then he bought the Cleaver Deaver place and then the Elmer Bates place,
mm-hmm.
which they tore the houses down on two of the places. And then he bought all the pasture land. They had one place for all people at Ida to take their cows to pasture, you know.
Yeah.
And so my father bought all of that.
Mm.
That was when they started selling, the government wanted to sell it, you know.
Mm.
So he bought the three of the Pisces, and also all the pastors that were for the whole out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, and him working for the park, and he did write much farming, and I helped him. I was big enough to help him out there.
Yeah.
With farming.
Yeah. Right. You know, a lot of youngsters weren't able to really go to school because they were so busy helping with the farms that they couldn't. But you were fortunate that you were able to, that you had older brothers.
Yeah, I was very fortunate in that way. I got to, well, I started school when I was five. I'd go along, I'd want to be with my brothers, you know, they was all going to school, and me being the youngest, and I'd go along.
You know, you just touched very lightly on the doctor's situation. When babies were born, did they have doctors come in or use midwives?
Midwives.
Mm-hmm.
You never hear of a doctor coming for a baby being born. Mm-hmm. Not while we lived in,
in the
mountains.
Yeah. Yeah, that's mainly what my questions are about.
No.
Mm-hmm. Do you recall any particular, this is really stretching your memory, and I doubt you wouldn't have even noticed, but do you know of any herbs that they used to use to cure things?
Well, now, I know of some, I'm not sure of what it was used for. They'd use this sassafras tea.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were several others that I can't recall now. I mean, I remember my relatives talking about them, that, you know, by me only being 7 years old when I moved out, I just don't remember what they used and what it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do know that they made mustard poultice. Now that was something that was homemade, and it was good for pneumonia.
And they would use the mustard seed.
Yeah. Now that was made, and somehow I don't know how they made it.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
How would a 7-year-old boy know? He wouldn't know.
But my father's sister, she always says, "Call me her boy," because she says she saved my life, because I was very ill. That was when I was real small, and I had pneumonia bad, and she made these mustard poultices and put on me, and they said that would heat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was very heat, and it would somehow draw that out.
How I wish that knowledge of herbs, because it's all, now they're discovering how good they were. And they're making a lot of medicines out of the same identical things that were used then.
That was used at that time, and I'm sure that some of the people that I told you about earlier that would be more able to tell you the names of those herbs and what they was used for.
Don't you worry, I'm going to track them down.
Okay.
It's
been a way that I can help you track them down. I know where they live at, and so
I
can help you out on that.
And maybe warn them that they're going to be getting a phone call. Hi. I'm just trying to think now. You all were able, your father had no problem getting clothes for all of you. Where would the clothes come from?
Well, there was a store down, Pent Lamb had a store down. I didn't get down there very often myself, but there's where he would meet his truck to go to work. I mean, that was a good ways of going to walk, but he had some clothes, and he'd buy clothes for us then.
Your mother didn't make
clothes? Oh yeah, she made clothes. Now sometimes, like shoes, he'd buy them. But she made a lot of our shirts, and she made, a lot of the pants, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, she made most of our clothes.
Yeah. with this, did they make pumpkin butter that you ever heard of?
No. My family never did, that I know of, but I've heard of a lot of others that did.
Must be good.
Yeah, I've tried it. It is good. But I never thought it would be before I tried it.
Yeah. Did they raise cane to make sorghum?
Not there, but after we moved out, we raised it a lot, yes.
But not there?
Not up there, we didn't, because, well, we didn't have anybody to refine it, you know, in that area.
Yeah.
And when we moved out, we had a large crop of that, and we'd raise it and take it to Jim Huffman, had a place down there where he would refine it for us and make sorghum in it. And we would have enough to last us and sell a lot of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really care much for that. It's not as good as what you get out of the store. But some people like it a lot better.
Yeah. What would a typical breakfast be?
Okay. Usually I have eggs and some kind of meat, maybe a ham, shoulder meat, side meat, and a lot of times a bowl of milk gravy with it. And it was what I call a good breakfast, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good breakfast. When you went to school, did you take your lunch?
Yes, I would take my lunch.
And what would
school.
You take along? What would you have? They didn't make sandwiches then, did they?
Well, it was sandwiches, but it wasn't made out of this bakery bread.
No.
You know, my mother would bake biscuits, you call it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you just split the biscuit, put your piece of meat in there, and whatever you want on it, and then usually an apple butter. You know, apple butter sandwich is really good with milk. I mean, you take it to school, and that would be all you need.
That's right. Mark. So come dinner time, was there room at the table for all of you to sit down?
Oh, yeah.
You had big tables.
Yeah, we had a big table. It was, no, it was a homemade table. No, we didn't go to the furniture store and buy a lot of furniture. You know, it was a homemade table, but we buy all these nice tablecloths. Put on it was good as... Well, you can use good off those. You can't move new ones you got now.
That's right.
Well, we made out all right on them anyway.
Your mother must have spent a lot of time cooking.
She did. A lot of time. See, we just had the wood stoves.
Yes. Which are the best?
Well, women don't think so now, but they were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they heated with wood also. Yeah. It took a lot of time getting the wood.
Did they dry beans and then
they... Oh, yes. Dry beans and then they dry apples and... well, you dry apples. And you, have you ever ate any of those?
Uh-uh.
Oh,
now
here
they're delicious.
They are. And they call these beans, snap beans is what they call them.
Yeah.
They would dry a lot of those. And it happens to them or any kind.
Do you recall how they would dry them?
Anybody that had a sort of a building with a flat roof on it, you could lay a white cloth or something clean, you know, out, spread your beans out on that, and let them lay there through the day. And the sun and the air would dry them out.
In one day?
Maybe not in one day, but it would probably take a couple of days to dry them out. But they was wonderful when in the wintertime when you start cooking them.
And you think how much more nutritious those were than the ones that you buy now in the store?
They were.
Yeah.
And much better too.
Yeah.
And the apples, they would do the same way. Now, you had a long day, usually, if you cut your apples into my cousin lives up in, they have a summer home up in Kite Hollow.
Oh.
She's from Maryland, but she comes up here and lives over summer, and she goes along with the old time way, you know. They got an apple orchard up there, and she dries apples, dries beans, you know, and everything. She still likes that way of living. And,
right.
But she's retired from the government. She worked in D.C. 30 years. She's retired now. And she gets to spend the whole summer up there in her garden.
Yeah. Do you recall the neighbors coming just to visit, like of an evening? To just sit around and talk?
Oh, yeah. They would come right off.
Yeah.
Just, well, like I say, at that time it wasn't much else to do about the night. I mean,
sure.
No TV and no radio. And no telephones up in there. You couldn't tell them about it. And so the only way communication you had was go visit, you know, sit around and talk.
Would they play music?
Oh, yeah. They would play music.
What would they play? Guitars?
Guitar, banjo. My grandfather, he lived on the mountain from us. And, well, he would come down sometimes. Well, he was really good on the banjo.
Oh.
They had some good times. Really enjoyed it.
Weekends,
remember, they'd get together, they'd play marbles. I guess you've heard of them.
Yeah.
Playing marbles.
That was going to be my next question. What games did you all play?
All games and different things, you know. And, pitching horseshoes and most of them didn't have horses. Of course, we didn't have the regular shoes like you buy for horseshoe fishing. It would be just the shoes that came off the horses,
right.
Which was
perfect. That's what they should be.
It was using what we had.
So you didn't work all the time?
No, they didn't work all the time, but no, it was big part of the time, but they had to work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
During the summer months, they had to work hard, trying to store up for the winter.
Yeah. And then in the wintertime, the snow came, and then I guess you all went to bed early.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. What, did your family have any geese or anything like that, so they have feather beds?
No, they didn't. They got feathers from somewhere, I don't know, some of the neighbors that did have them.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have them ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but some of the neighbors did?
Yeah.
I understand it's a special knack
taking
those feathers off.
There is, but I don't know.
No, I don't know either.
So I don't know.
Apparently there's quite a lot of squawking going on, but
probably is.
Those that knew how to do it could do it real fast. I think that's wonderful. So your mother and father, really, once they got adjusted to the idea of the move, weren't that unhappy.
No, but they
did they get what they thought was fair from the park?
Well, I just don't know how to answer that. In one way they did, and in a way they didn't. I mean, I think the way that they understood that these houses, you know, that they had for them, that they was replacing the what they'd taken from them in the park, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know of him getting anything. Now, I've read in papers where the park gave him $6 an acre, but I don't think he got anything for what he owned up there. And then when he moved into the island, and trying to sell the places, and they had to buy them or move out, you know. And so, I don't know.
I see you don't know how to. I wouldn't know how to answer it either. I've heard $3 an acre from some people. Maybe it was people that didn't take a house that got some money. Yeah. That could be.
Well, now that might be the way it was. Now, I can't remember all the
details. If you were going to be moved out and build your own house, all right, then they would give you some money. Yeah. I think that probably is
might have been the way it was, but he didn't get anything out of his land up there.
And how many acres did he have?
Now, that is a good question, because I don't know. But he did have a right big place, you know, for farmland, and his woodland. Or we'd get around wood and everything.
Yeah.
And for buildings, we'd cut his logs, you know, and get them out, get them to the sawmill somehow, and by wagon. And
he had horses.
Yeah.
Did he move the horses down there to Idaho?
No. He bought horses after he got to Idaho. I think he got rid of the horses a while before we moved up in the holiday.
Yeah. You recall anything about the wildlife, whether there was much?
Only what my grandfather was a great hunter, Walter Lamb, excuse me. And, there was quite a lot of wildlife up in there. He did a lot of hunting. Coon hunting, all kind of night hunting, coon hunting, opossum, skunk, they would get those and skin them, sell the hides, you know, and so, and then for food, they would eat squirrel and rabbit, I never eat them myself, but he liked groundhogs. And he would hunt groundhogs.
Oh, I wonder what they taste like.
I don't know, but they said it was very good.
Yeah.
But I've never tried it. I don't know what they would be like.
Did you see any bobcat?
No, I don't remember ever seeing a bobcat.
Oh, one thing I was wondering, and I think this is something you would remember if they had been talking about it, now like of an evening when people would sit around. Would they tell ghost stories?
Oh, yeah. That
Can
was,
you remember any?
Oh, no. not to tell them the way they did. I wouldn't want to go into that.
Why?
Because it's been so long that, I haven't been telling any ghost stories, and so... But I remember that they would tell, that would be one of the main stories that they would be telling, you know.
I don't want to nag you, and this will be my last question. If you could possibly remember just one ghost story. As a little boy, you must have sat there fascinated.
Well, now, the ones that I heard were long ones. But, yeah, I remember one. Now, they're back at Skyland. Now, I don't know just where it was at, but I remember telling this. Okay, and Bernie Taylor and Elmer Bates and or Cecil was probably with them. There were several men, and Lay decided to go to that place one night. Well, the boys running around, you know, back in the mountains, and they went to that house. Well, they had heard a lot of ghost stories about the house. It was supposed to be a haunted house, you know. And they made a deal with Elmer to go in and to make sure he had been in the house. See, everybody was afraid he went, you know, at night, especially. So, in order to get him to go in, they had offered him so much. I don't know what it was, cash or what, but it amounted to $5, I think, for him to go in that house and drive an ambulance for him. They would know that he would have been in there if he went back the next day, you know, or they could hear him in there, probably. But he went in, and he, not having a hammer or anything, he took a rock with him. He had a nail, but he took a rock with him. So he, dark in there and everything, you know, and he stooped down and driving the nail. I guess he was looking around everywhere to see if he could see anything. You know, he was scared.
Sure.
He's just a young fella. And, well, it so happened when he got up, he had drove the nail through his overcoat, and that ripped, you know, what a noise it would make, and it scared him so bad that they said he ran. He left them, didn't say anything. He went out the door and ran all the way home, jumping fences. He didn't stop till he got home. So it just scared him near to death, you know. So, which I imagine he would.
That's a beautiful story. I just have a vivid picture of the people just sitting there listening to these things.
And there was many more, which I can't...
No.
My grandmother used to tell so many of them about these old rocking chairs that would sit, and they would rock themselves, you know. Well, they lived in the house at the time. I don't know what it was, just stories they'd tell to get the children stirred up or what, but it would... kind of get them stirred up a little, you know.
Yeah, so they're all bug-eyed. But you have given us so much information. You don't realize what you've done.
Well, now, I
you don't feel
didn't think yet? That I was helping much, but I was trying to answer the question as best I could. And so I hope it'll be of some help to you.
It has
took a box about this size up to Darwin, filled with notes. And Darwin said, oh, it would take me years to just go through all this. I'm not about to. So that was that. That's it. And just one more little thing that you're not going to mind at all. Because I always do rotten jobs. Your picture.
Oh, no.
I do terrible jobs.
Well, where do you want me for the picture? Standing up, sitting down?
Let's see. Smart man. Get up. trying to save the park money. I used not a brand new one. This is an old one of the parks, so it takes a long while for them to see that didn't come out that first one. That was going to take a little bit of life on that. These instant ones that they show,
I keep thinking, oh, sometime I'm going to get real rich and I'm going to blow up.